Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of Jude, and today I want to continue to examine what Jude taught about the prophecy of Enoch. So let's open our Bibles and read Jude verses 14 and 15 again together. It was about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all of the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they had done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, there are several aspects of Enoch's prophecy that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, I want you to note that prophecy and preaching are both ancient forms of delivering God's message to God's people. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah faithfully preached righteousness for 120 years. And it is interesting to note that after preaching righteousness for 120 years and after building a boat in the middle of the desert and after telling people for 120 years that God was going to make it rain, even though it had never rained before, this man only had 8 souls in his church. And as I've said many times before, although Noah was in the perfect will of God and although Noah was doing everything that God told him to do, Noah would be deemed to be an abject failure by pragmatic, results-oriented people who lead the modern church today because they incorrectly reason to themselves that if something is of God, then it will grow and it will be wealthy. And that's just historically not accurate. That pragmatism is an American trait, and it's wonderful when used in business, but when pragmatism is used in the house of God, it is an abomination. What makes something right is how faithful it is to Scripture, not how popular it is. And there have been few times when right and correct things have been popular with many people. But those are the rare exceptions to the rule. The overwhelming majority of the 6,000-year recorded history of mankind teaches that when the masses of people are flocking to something, when everybody is doing it, when scores of people are believing and following after something, then it's probably not of God at all. The Bible says that Noah preached, and yet very few heeded to what he preached. Jude says that Enoch prophesied, and we have no record that anyone at all listened to anything that Enoch said. And this is the way that it has always been with divine truth. Most people reject God's truth when they hear it. They always have and they always will. Jesus said that God's very own chosen people rejected what the prophet spoke and even killed them because God's word had no place in their heart. Let's read Luke 13 verses 34 and 35 that says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not have it. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. And I say to you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Christian brothers and sisters, we are made from the very same clay as the people of Israel. And we have the same tendency to reject something that is true if it appears to be unpopular or if it goes against our normal thinking. But God's truth has never been popular with the majority of the population. And that is why Jesus said that the very people of God who lived in the city of God rejected the prophets that God sent to speak to them. And not only did they reject what these prophets spoke, the people of God killed the very ones who spoke God's truth to them. So what we can say is that they hated truth so much that they murdered the men that God had sent to rescue them from their own sins. Now, how could this be? Because God's truth has always been offensive to the carnal mind. Many more people throughout history have been offended at God's word than have accepted God's word as being true. And that is because God's word never feeds the carnal lusts of man. It always speaks divine truth to the soul. On the other hand, false teaching always feeds the sinful nature of man, which is why it is so enormously popular. So we're making a huge mistake by trying to use human logic and fleshly reasoning and pragmatism when we try to serve God. You see, dear friends, as fallen human beings, we seek after approval. We seek after greatness. We seek to be great. We seek to be prosperous, to be important, to be exalted, and to be large. We crave attention and we crave validation for who we are and what we do. Ever since the serpent lied to Eve and deceived her, man has sought to be God. Humans have bought into the lie that if only we would eat something or believe something or do something, if only we would learn something, we would be like God. And that it's not just a few people who believe this. That is the predominant belief system of the entire lost and fallen world. Many, many people today really believe the lie that there exists within them some kind of giant, a champion, a warrior, a conqueror that is trapped inside of them, and that by learning certain techniques or by psyching themselves up or by developing some part of their self, they can release this warrior and set him free. They can liberate that champion and they can soar with the eagles and then they can go out and do great and important things that will allow them to fulfill all their dreams. And that kind of teaching is infectious, is it? It is intoxicating, which is why it's so popular. But that kind of teaching is not biblical. That kind of teaching is actually exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches. That teaching is classic godless humanism. That teaching has been birthed in the lie that Satan told Eve in the garden and has been in competition with divine truth ever since then. The Bible says that inside of all men is a sinful, fallen, depraved nature that is separate from God and is hostile, that operates in hostile opposition to the ways of God. So our fallen nature does not need to be set free, beloved. It doesn't need to be educated. It doesn't need to be trained or strengthened or empowered or enabled. No, this sinful, fallen nature of man needs to die. And it needs to be replaced with a new divine nature. And the only way that that is accomplished is through being born again through the finished work of Jesus Christ. The scary thing about this is that although this kind of teaching about a giant that lives inside of us and that needs to be set free is an ancient heresy that is completely contradictory to Scripture and which has been thoroughly examined and soundly rejected by the church many, many centuries ago, it is one of the prevailing teachings of the modern church. And it is as popular today and has as many followers today than at any other time in human history. Teaching about building up and empowering the self of man is enormously popular today and is almost universally accepted as being good. And yet it is diametrically opposed to the biblical teaching about sin and original sin and the sovereignty of God and repentance and salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So when comparing biblical truth with heresy, it is very unwise to judge the truth of a teaching by its popularity. We must judge whether something is true or not by its adherence to what Scripture says, not what appeals to the prurient interests and the base lusts of fallen man. Who among us does not want more money? Who among us does not want eternal good health? Who would not like to live in wealth and health with no trials or tests? Who would not enjoy being great and popular and important and accepted? Who among us likes to ever be tempted? Who among us would ever volunteer for a trial? Who among us is happy to find out that what we're doing is sinful? Who gets filled with happiness and joy to find out that the Bible condemns our actions and thoughts? You see, beloved, we don't need anybody to teach us to enjoy things that make us feel good. Everything that causes our flesh to thrive is enormously popular with those who follow after the flesh. But we must understand that the reason that we like those things is because we are fallen creatures. But those things cannot ever bring anyone to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And those kinds of false teaching should never be accepted, but they should always be rejected. But while it is true that no one has to be taught to sin and serve self, we do have to be taught truth. And we do have to be taught to love and serve God. In fact, in order for any of us to genuinely love God, it takes a supernatural miracle from heaven to not just change our heart, but to recreate our hearts. That is because by nature, we are the children of wrath. And that is why no child ever has to be taught how to rebel against its parents. All children rebel because it is in their nature to rebel. So if we were to take a popularity contest among children, rebellion would be at the top of the list of things that we should like. But rebellion is not good. It is never good. It is bad. It is wrong. It is sinful. In fact, the Bible says that rebellion is the same sin as witchcraft. So even though rebellion is enormously popular, it is contrary to Scripture, and thus it is wrong. So it is true with all heresy. Almost all heresy gains ground because it is popular. It is far easier to accept in many ways than divine truth is. But all heresy is always bad. False teaching is never good. All false teaching is just that, false. All deception and misinterpretation of Scripture and misapplication of Scripture is always wrong, is always sin. Even that heresy and false teaching that is enormously popular and readily accepted in the modern church. Human beings will believe false teaching a lot easier and a lot sooner than we will believe the truth, because lies and falsehoods feed our flesh, while truth runs counterintuitive to human nature. The fact is that human beings have to be taught truth. We can stumble into error all on our own, but we have to be systematically taught the truth. We have to learn how to serve God, because it goes against the very fabric of human existence. That is why God gave us His Word. God's Word is true because it came from the mouth and the mind and the heart of Almighty God. Not because it is easy to accept. Not because it is popular. Not because it is fun or thrilling or makes you wiggle with glee. And it isn't even that we want God's Word all the time. It is that we need God's Word all the time. God's Word will judge our actions and tell us whether our actions are acceptable in God's sight. God's Word will judge our thoughts and determine whether or not our thoughts are pure. God's Word will judge our beliefs and determine whether our beliefs are accurate and consistent and true and trustworthy. God's Word has the ability to discern between the very thoughts and intents of the heart and goes all the way down and divides between the soul and the spirit of the human being. God's Word strips us of all of our pride and our human achievements and all of our fleshly desires and our carnal whims and leaves us naked and bare. And then by God's grace, this same Word clothes us with God's righteousness and purity and truth. So we need the Bible, and we need to know what the Bible says, and we need to know what the Bible teaches, and we need to know what the Bible means. And we need to know how to interpret the Bible correctly, not based upon our own opinions or the changes in society or our own limited personal experiences. But we need to learn how to interpret the Bible rightly and fully, according to the tried and true and time-tested rules of interpretation, so that we do not place upon Scripture any private interpretation. Heresy, all heresy is false precisely because it perpetuates that which is already wrong with us. It feeds what is wrong with us and starves that which we need. Truth does just the opposite. It feeds what is holy and starves what is wrong, even if that which is wrong is far more popular. So it is not just that we want God's Word. It isn't that God's Word is always popular, exciting, or always makes us happy. But, dear friends, we need God's Word because it is our only guide that is true. It is our only measurement that will prove what we think, that what we think is right. It is our only hope if we are to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Well, I've got to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the Epistle of Jude. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the Internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time. May the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.